Summer is almost here, and Good Ranchers wants to give you what you've been craving, a beautiful, tasty steak for the grill. Nothing says quality time with family and friends better than an all-American steak from Good Ranchers. I like how everything comes vacuum-sealed, and it all tastes great. Every cut is sourced from local American farms and is hand-cut, trimmed, and aged to perfection. Good Ranchers is proud to be your trusted source for high-quality, all-American meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and pick your box. They have ribeye, New York strip, all-natural burgers, and all the delicious chicken you could ever want. Plus, it's all $30 off with my code DANA. This is the perfect time of year to easily change the way you buy meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and use my code DANA for $30 off of any box, and make this summer one to remember. Remember, with American meat delivered right to your door from GoodRanchers.com. Nothing says quality time with family and friends better than an all-American steak from Good Ranchers. Use my code DANA for $30 off at GoodRanchers.com today.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God has decided we shall live. Thank you for welcoming me back. Todd Herman filling in for Dana on The Dana Show. Don't forget about all the places you can stay connected with Dana. DanaLash.com. Get the newsletter there. So collusion, what a fascinating idea, collusion. And we are hearing this week, of course, the what I was calling the criminalization of government. That's not the greatest phrase. I think I should go back to weaponization, because it is a weapon. But this isn't about the DOJ. It's not even about the FBI. This is about what we mean when we say capitalist, what we mean when we say government. What we mean when we say free society, what we mean when we say citizen versus subject. That's what this is about. The Bank of America people, and Representative Dan Bishop deserves credit for this, and you'll hear from him later in the show, it's the sound clip. He's discovered that Bank of America decided just to give the government credit card and debit card data on every one of their so-called customers, and I'll explain that phrase in a second, so-called customers, who were in the Washington, D.C. area between January 5th and 7th, 2021. So this isn't a company. This is a joint state actor, just like Twitter was, and maybe still is, a joint state actor. So is Facebook. And later in the show, we'll address what I think is a unanimously wrong Supreme Court decision, because they are ruling in favor of what Facebook, Twitter, etc. are supposed to be but are not, which is platforms. They're not platforms. They're publishers. And they should have the same liability as any publisher. So Bank of America decides just to give over customer data to the government. This didn't require force and a thought experiment. Hey, Bank of America, give us all the credit card and debit card data from illegal immigrants sending money overseas. Give that to us now, right now, this second. No. Well, that would violate privacy. Plus, it would be racist. Hey, Bank of America, give us all the credit card and debit card data on underground sources for getting wrong sex hormones into the hands of kids. And don't pretend that's not happening, because I can play the video of sexual left activists organizing that and promoting it on sites like Reddit. Give us that data. No, because that would interrupt the patient's client. They did this because their government, Bank of America's CEO, Brian Moynihan. By the way, if you wanted a dude to look like a Bank of America CEO, it would be Brian Moynihan. He looks exactly like you would cast a CEO, and that's maybe why he's CEO. I'm sure he's a smart man, scheming. And he said recently in relation to the ESG score, and I know Dana's talked about this, the Environment, Social Justice, and Governance score, which is related to the Equity Index, which is a way to measure companies on how they think, not what they do, not balance sheets, not performance, in other words, not rationality, because numbers can be rationalized, and if it's done the right way, they are rationalized. He recently said in response to this that we're capitalists, and he tried to make the case that ESG, which is measuring the performance of a company by their attitudes and behaviors, in other words, by how closely tied they are to the effort to turn the United States of America into communist China, the China model. That's what they are. They're not. You're not a capitalist. You're a corporatist at best. At worst, you are edging right up into the actual meaning of fascism, which is where government and companies become one. And when that happens, then your vote seems to decrease in importance. And that ultimately, often, usually, well, always, ends in force if it's not stopped. One side applying force to the other. So, yeah, we're hearing, of course, about the FBI, and we should be paying attention to that. It's probably the biggest story in the country. There's some other people running for president. DeSantis is going to get in. Tim Scott, we'll talk about that a little bit. Does that matter? It's funny, Fox News turned to Nikki Haley for comment on this. And for just a second, I had to sit there and go, Nikki Haley? Who's, I couldn't. Oh, yeah, Nikki Haley. So the hearing is ongoing. And didn't I just talk about the hearing, the FBI hearing? Didn't I just talk about the ESG score as a way to move away from rationality and numbers? Did you know that the FBI is seeking to ban FBI agents from using crime stats in law enforcement? Did you know that? They don't want data in law enforcement. Wow, that sounds exactly like the banking sector. We don't want data. We want feelings. Because data can provide grounds for rational discussion and rational decision-making, we want irrationality. We want people operating in lizard brain mode all the time. Fear, 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 anger, 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 anger. I guess they're doing a pretty good job with me this morning because I'm feeling agitated about this. And by the way, how are you when you hear this stuff? How does it land for you? Particularly if you are someone who's, I guess, my age, mid-50s. Is this the discussion you thought we'd be having about our country at this time? So brave people decided to step up and talk about what happened to them when they decided to speak out about the FBI and how rotten it has become. And of course, we know that there was a time on the left when whistleblowers were sacrosanct. Now we're being lectured by people like Debbie Wasserman Schultz that these people don't count as whistleblowers. Why? Because the agency on whom they're blowing the whistle says they're not. I see. So the burglar says they're not a burglar. Sweet. That's a great rationale. In clip one, this Democrat Representative Sanchez literally tries to smear an FBI whistleblower, a witness, using tweets not from his account, but from a bot account.
Mr. Allen, have you ever used Twitter, yes or no?
I have utilized Twitter, yes.
Okay, and is your account at MarcusA97050645?
That is absolutely not my account.
Okay, that's not your account. Well, on December 5th, 2022, an account under the name Marcus Allen retweeted a tweet that said...
That is not my account, ma'am.
You haven't let me finish the question,
sir.
You might
have been the football player.
You haven't let me finish the question. And the time is mine. On December 5th, 2022, an account under the name of Marcus Allen retweeted a tweet that said, quote, Nancy Pelosi staged January 6th, retweet if you agree, end quote. Do you agree with that statement? Yes or no?
That is, I don't... No, ma'am. That's not my account at all. I have
I'm
no
asking
idea.
Whether you agree with that statement, yes or no?
Can you please rephrase the statement?
Yeah.
I'm the gentlelady has expired.
Staged January 6th. I just want him to answer
he'll answer.
This
he'll
last
answer.
Question.
Yeah, he'll answer. I'm just telling you your time's up.
Do you believe that Nancy Pelosi, do you agree with the statement that this person tweeted that Nancy Pelosi staged January 6th?
No.
Thank you.
After all of that, they get down to a no. Incidentally, she didn't stage it. She just let it get worse. Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi said, we don't want more security. That's what they did. They invited it. I believe it. There was a time when it got the New York Times tried to, and they panicked. I worked in radio for, well, a long time. I guess I'm working in radio now. I have a national show on this network on the weekends and a podcast at thetoddhermanshow.com. But yeah, New York Times writer tried to rope me all into that disinformation. And my boss at the time said, hey, will you call him? I said, are you kidding me? Call a New York Times reporter? No, I will do a Q&A with him. And I wrote back to him and said, I'll respond to you as long as you agree to print everything I write in full. And no interest in that. No, of course not, because they're government too. In the same hearing, in cut number two, Special Agent Garrett O'Boyle has a warning about other people who want to speak out about the wrongs of government. He says the FBI will crush you if you try to expose the truth.
You would legitimately try to protect one of your colleagues from doing what you have done?
Absolutely.
And how do you think that solves being able to shine light on corruption, weaponization, any kind of misconduct that exists with the American people?
It doesn't solve it. But the FBI will crush you. This government will crush you and your family. if you try to expose the truth about things that they are doing that are wrong. And we are all examples of that.
Yeah, and Bank of America will help. They just step right up and help because they're government. They're not capitalists, nor Twitter, Facebook. And this matters because we'll have this discussion about the Supreme Court, a unanimous decision that's wrong because it's based on what those companies are supposed to be. And they're not companies either. And I just am a big fan of words meaning things. This is the same agent in cut number three. It's FBI whistleblower Garrett Boyle. And he gets pretty choked up detailing how the FBI took his family's clothes and forced him to ask for help for his family.
How old were your children when they moved you across the country?
6, 5, 3, and 2 weeks.
A 2-week-old baby. Could you get your stuff?
6 weeks later.
Oh, so for 6 weeks, almost every possession to your name, the FBI had and wouldn't give back to you. What time of year was it? Was it winter, summer?
When I reported, it was in September. So when we were traveling, it was summertime, essentially. So we had basically summer clothes, but then we were basically stranded in Wisconsin, which is where we're from. It gets cold there pretty quick.
And yeah, I'll take your word for it. I'm a Florida man. But what was it like when you had to go and explain to your wife that you didn't have coats for your children because the FBI wouldn't give them back to you?
It was horrible. I mean, we were asking family for clothes. And
you could hear him getting choked up, wouldn't you? And Bank of America's there to help the FBI. So was Twitter. So was Facebook. Still. YouTube. Still. All one entity. The DHS had a program to target middle-aged pro-life advocates and budding conspiracy theorists under the guise of de-radicalization. Said they were doing that. Social media helped with that. Supreme Court's wrong. We'll talk about this decision. And the Durham report, which has been much of the cause of all this, of these hearings, British intelligence repeatedly said, yeah, the Trump-Russia investigation, there's no evidence. It's trash. Well, we now know that FBI leadership knew the same thing. We come back. Barack Obama has concerns about society. And he's talking about that. It's Todd Herman in for Dana Lash on The Dana Show.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
You can also get Dana's show on the Odyssey app and subscribe to the podcast. Lots and lots of ways to stay in touch with your favorite host. It's Todd Herman in for said Dana Lash, and that leads us into the Quick Five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
In cut number four, Barack Obama says there's things he's worried about, and it's a divided conversation because we have a divided media.
I'm most worried about is the degree to which we've now have a divided conversation, in part because we have a divided media, right? So I'm much older than you, Nate.
You don't look it, though.
That's what I was fishing for. I can't stand it, Stephen. I can't stand it. We got to stop it. We got to stop Obama. It's the pauses. He's gotten worse about the pauses. The point is this. He wants to go back to the good old days where the conversation was completely controlled. That's what they're trying to do. And Bank of America is there to help. Facebook's there to help. We'll talk about the Supreme Court thing. In a narrow way, Supreme Court did a reasonable thing. In a broader sense, they completely failed. Utterly wrong. And for Barack Obama to talk about facts, if you like your plan, you can keep it. It's 177 times, knowing every time he said it was false. He needs a rest. Well, we need a rest from him. We should all move to Minnesota because in Minnesota, they're paying activists to rest because it's very, very difficult work being an activist. Oh, pardon me. No, I'm sorry. It's not activists. It's capital B word, black activists, because it's hard work being a black activist, but not a white activist, which raises the question. If you identify as black, do you have to identify as taking the rest? And they're literally paying them. About 50 grand just to take a rest. Oh, by the way, this isn't just Minnesota. This was done in the separate country of Washington as well, just for black activists. I said years ago that the left and the leftist states were becoming the new segregationists, the new Confederacy. They are. Did you know that there are full-on employee trainings that are segregated in those countries. Washington, the separate country, they literally put out notes saying white people are going to meet here, white employees, all the sainted BIPOCs are going to meet over here. In Arizona, the Constitution, it can once again be shown at a state university. Arizona State University has taken some measures to make sure that the Constitution wasn't handed out to students. And the measures included charging an ASU student with handing out copies of the United States Constitution, because we certainly can't have that, because that could get us to a united set of facts. And we just know Barack Obama. Wait, didn't he want a united set of facts? Not those facts, dummy. Those facts are problematic. They contain actual ideas of equality, not made up equity. They contain constraints on the form of government we have. You remember when Barack Obama said, and this has been just memory hold, the fatal flaw of our Constitution is it's a series of negative rights. Things a government can't do, but nothing it has to do for you. His dear friend, Obama's, Dianne Feinstein, and we'll hear this later in the show, to the degree that you can understand her. And incidentally, age is not funny. Dementia is not funny. She has something far worse than shingles, which is neurologically degenerative that she has. She was talking to reporters and unaware that she had missed the last 3 months in the Senate. And simply, oh, no, I've been here voting. No, you haven't. Performative politics, it's hard to criticize them when really it's just performance. We'll talk later about the guy who was formerly in charge of our nuclear waste, and then he decided to steal women's clothes. Oh, by the way, he's a sadomasochist, apparently, according to his website, etc. He's another guy that's performative. They had to track him down, fugitive from justice. They almost had to do that with Feinstein. Oh, then there's this. In cut number five, sometimes Barack Obama's Biden's dementia tells the truth right here.
Steadfast defender of women's rights. I need not even mention that, the right to choose. But I want to thank every single person in this room for leading the way in that fight. It's a critical fight. It's about democracy. It's about freedom. And I also want to thank my buddy Kamala, who I work for in up in the White House.
Well, like I said, in Dementia Veritas, it used to say In Vino Veritas. It's Todd Herman in for Dana on The Dana Show.
I have some exciting news for those of you who wish that you could be nearer to Hillsdale College. Now, you can be a part of Hillsdale, no matter where you are in the world. In addition to their free online courses, Hillsdale College has created something new, the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. It allows you to learn even more from Hillsdale anywhere at any time. And on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, you'll hear podcasts that feature conversations with Hillsdale College faculty, staff, friends, alumni, as well as visiting speakers and authors discussing everything from philosophy to theology to history, economics, politics, and current events. Listen to hundreds of episodes on the network, from the Hillsdale Dialogues to the radio-free Hillsdale Hour to the Larry Arnn Show, all for free. Get informed and entertained at Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com, and learn more about their free online courses and the new Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, changing hearts.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
I would add, with all, well, it's not my site, it's not modesty, I would just say that you can also visit danalash.com, subscribe to the chapter and verse newsletter. Also, I do a podcast. It's 2.5 hours of content every weekday. You can get that at thetoddhermanshow.com. It's God at the Center and Conservative Politics at the Edges, which is why I originally left radio. One of the reasons. I originally left to come back and podcast, and here we are, back on radio. I can't stay away from it. I love live radio. The Supreme Court, in a narrow way, gets something right. In a broader sense, it's an unbelievably bad failure, and it's unanimous. And at least, I mean, I want to give credit to some of the justices admitting they don't know anything about this. that they have no idea what they're talking about in relation to tech. That's refreshing. And it was actually Alina Kagan who said that. On the other hand, she said, I mean, we're a court. We really don't know about these things. You know, they're this, these are not like the nine greatest experts on the internet. That, you know what? Justice Kagan, I agree, disagree with you on everything in the world except that. That's, wow, that's almost humility. That's phenomenal to hear, to admit that. And maybe it's a dodge. And so here's what people wanted is they wanted a ruling on Section 230. Communications Decency Act, Section 230, takes these companies and says, and they say, look, if you're a platform where people host content, you're not liable for the content. So for instance, if I were to come on this program, on Dana's show, and let's say I was to libel somebody, knowingly take a person, like I'm sitting in the studios of KSBN AM 1230 in Spokane, Washington. It's Dana's affiliate here, and Randy's sitting across from me. So Randy's somewhat public. But it's not really. But if I were to just now say a vicious lie about Randy, and I wouldn't do that, then I knew it was false and I knew it could harm him, I could be sued. But then so could KSBN and so could Radio America, which is Dana's syndicator and my syndicator for my weekend show. That could happen. And it would be right if I used these airwaves, misused them in that regard. I wouldn't do that. I don't think I would do that. Well, I know I wouldn't do it about Randy. But in the internet, when these are user-generated posts or content, etc., the Section 230 was saying, well, we can't be responsible for this because we're just platforms. We're just pipes. It's like you can't sue the phone company when someone uses the phone to arrange a crime. However, these are not platforms. And at the center of this case, by the way, was it's people who were injured in some families of people who were killed in an Islamic terrorist attack. And I know I get it. It's so strange that Islamists would kill innocent people. And we could talk about that one day. And that might turn out to be a big thing in society. It might happen that occurs a lot. Perhaps. That's not the point. They sued the big tech companies saying, hey, you guys, they used your systems to plot this. And big tech got panicked and said, no, we can't be responsible for content. Liars. I have the most shadow banned Twitter account in history because I say things about the COVID flu, a lot of things, and about election integrity, a lot of things. It really went downhill when the president retweeted me. President Trump retweeted me and boom, man, I was persona non grata. So they can go out and find every single post where someone questions the efficacy of the injections, or in the case of these social media companies, correctly refers to a man as a man and not a woman. And they can find it, they can neutralize it, they can de-emphasize it, they can block it. They did it with the Hunter Biden story. But no, we're just helpless when it comes to terrorism. No, you're not. Now, a needle in a haystack, I get it. Some things are going to get by you. But the error in this is pretending that these companies are platforms. They're not. They're publishers. And the people who post stuff work for free. It's like sharecropping. It's digital sharecropping. You know, can you imagine Twitter with no users? That's just it. It would be radio silence. They're a publisher. And it's time to go to Section 230 and go to these companies and say, decide. Are you a platform or a publisher? Do you remember, by the way, when the CDC floated the idea of, they did, they floated this idea of getting into people's text messages to look for COVID disinformation. They literally said, hey, you know, I could just see Fauci. Well, what if we created a Fauci bot that when someone says natural immunity, if we find out they're allergic to peanuts, it just puts peanuts into their body and makes them sick. They floated that idea. And I could see them doing that because we live in this era. We live in this era where governments and companies have become one. And this has been, again, the conversation in D.C. this week. I want to get back to some of the stuff in this hearing, the weaponization of government hearing. This is clip number 6. And in this, you're going to hear FBI whistleblower Stephen Friend explain how the FBI retaliated against him after he exposed how the Bureau was cooking the books on domestic violent extremism cases.
Special agents take an oath to protect the U.S. Constitution. The dangers of federal law enforcement overreach were hammered home to me when I was required to attend trainings at the Holocaust Memorial Museum and MLK Memorial. I cited my oath and training in my conversations with my FBI supervisors. Nevertheless, the FBI weaponized the security clearance processes to to facilitate my removal from active duty within 1 month of my disclosures. In addition to an indefinite unpaid suspension, the FBI initiated a campaign of humiliation and intimidation to punish and pressure me to resign. In violation of HIPAA, individuals at the FBI leaked my private medical information to a reporter at the New York Times. In violation of the Privacy Act, the FBI refused to furnish my training records for several months. To date, they only provided a portion of the records, which are essential to obtaining private investigator and firearms licenses in the state of Florida. Even after releasing some of the records, the FBI refuses to confirm their legitimacy to the Florida Department of Agriculture, rendering the few documents they have provided practically useless.
And it's all purposeful. And just remember this, that you had Bank of America. We talked about that in the first segment of Dana's show today, that they decided, oh, you would just hand over all the credit card, debit card information for Jan 6th and the day beforehand. Just, you don't need, we don't need any stinking subpoena. We'll just give it to you. I wonder if the Bank of America people or Citibank, I wonder if they handed over any credit card information for people outside the Holocaust Museum or at school board meetings. So we have the social media companies. They can find all that. They can take down content where parents read the perverse pornographic sex ed into this, and I would add ungodly sex ed, into the records of the school board meetings. They can find that and take that down. But no, we're just platforms. We're just, that's all we are. It's all, to me, it's all very, very, very much connected. This is cut number eight, and same guy, former special agent, FBI whistleblower Steve Friend, and talks about sacrificing his dream job to share this information with the American people.
I pray that all members consider the information I and my fellow whistleblowers present. You may think I'm a political partisan. You may think I am a grifter. You may think I'm a conspiracy theorist. It does not matter. Simply put, this committee should avoid the temptation to impugn the character and the motivations of the messengers seated before you. I sacrifice my dream job to share this information with the American people. I humbly ask all the members to do your jobs and consider the merit of what I have presented.
I've listened to Stephen Friend talk a bit about his faith, and I want people to remember that when the Lord Jesus tells us, when we give something up for him and we walk away from evil for him, and if it costs us, if it's to stand by the word of God, he's going to replace that. And originally, when I left radio about 2.5 years ago, there was a lot to it. I have nothing disparaging to say about the company I work for. Nothing. Great people. Fantastic time. I'm unbelievably blessed. Unbelievably. But there were speech codes that were starting to creep into talk radio. Not here. Never at Radio America. And that freaked me out. And I also wanted on my podcast to be able to talk about God at the center, not just at the edges of politics. And that doesn't work in radio, because people tune in and they need to hear the news. That's live radio works that way. So made this insane decision, seemingly, to say no to a 5-year contract and to go do podcasting. And you know what? In 3 months, the Lord had replaced my radio income in 3 months. Now, a lot of that is because the virtue of having been blessed to fill in for Rush Limbaugh for over 100 times. God rest you, Maha. Miss you. And a lot of it is due to loyalty of people. But in the case of Steve Friend, you see the FBI wanting to play God and say, no, you don't get to have another job. You served honorably. We're going to hold you up from even being a private investigator because of our hatred for you. Because you have gone and told the family secrets about the family farm. And if you compare back to what we talked about in the first segment, not just Bank of America, but the fact that this same FBI wants to ban agents from using data in law enforcement, what does that mean? It means that they don't want to track the age, the gender, the pretend gender of people, the race, the income of people that they encounter in crime. Now, why would that be useful data? Why? How could that be useful? One, it could come in terms of where we police and where we apply efforts. Two, it could be useful in profiling because you put that into a big database. Hey, when we see crimes like this, who most commonly commits these crimes? Do we see these patterns here? They don't want that data, but they do want the data of the license plates of people in school board meetings. And Friend talks about that later. They do want the data of people who attend education at the Holocaust Museum. They do want that data. They want those names. So you take this right back up to Bank of America, sharing that with them. You take that up to the healthcare records of Stephen Friend. He says that the FBI went and got that. And remember this, we talked about Barack Hussein Obama and his decision to put all of our healthcare records into these great big Obamacare databases, not just to share with whomever like the FBI, but also with activists. There's a good reason to believe that so much of this began, so much of this ruin began with Obama, of course, the first black president who was to take us out of racism. And here we are in more racism. Well, except that's not true. It's just being talked about and agitated more. We come back. There's a couple of things in the economy that would lead me to believe it's a bad time to want an increase in the minimum wage. A certain senator, multimillionaire, disagrees. We'll talk about that next. It's Todd Herman in for Dana on The Dana Show.
Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
I was just going to say that. I think it's a great idea. It's Todd Herman in for Dana. Thank you for putting up with me. Appreciate you guys. I remember back in the day, I worked in tech, and I'm sorry for that, in big data, and I'm even more sorry for that. And we started to talk about the fact that coders were inventing devices that would put them out of work. Code that writes code. And this is where a lot of the artificial intelligence is headed. In fact, it is happening at tech companies now because there's a lot of repetitive tasks in code writing. Some of it's very inventive. It'll take a while until you can just say, hey, build me a thing that does this or write me code that accomplishes this. But for little pieces, write me a print driver. That's pretty easy. So at Dropbox, there's been 500 job cuts, and some people are blaming artificial intelligence for that. Wendy's, it's not really artificial intelligence. In fact, it's sort of a return to AMW root beers. I don't, maybe that was a West Coast thing where they brought you your food and roller skates and all that. Or like banks where they used to, I still have one of those banks where there's the little tube that brings you your money. They're creating underground delivery systems for mobile orders. That sounds weird. It's the restaurants and then the food, which is very, very fresh-ish. And you order on a machine and then someone cooks it and they put it in a device and an underground drone, truly, goes through this tube and then floats up to you and here's your food. And pretty soon, of course, the people from that, you know, people removed from that. And it, wouldn't it be faster just to like install fast food patches on people or just meld it into us? I look forward to that day where we 3D print food, and don't think that's not going to happen. That goo, you just, you know, you sit in your house and you wait. Hey, did we get our goo shipment? And the goo will be like print. It'll be like printer ink, and you got your protein goo and your carbohydrate goo and your fat goo, and then you put it into the printer and look, hamburger. So with all this, Bernie Sanders has decided that this is the time to double the minimum wage to $17 per hour. Up from $7.25 per hour. You know, it's just not right. These drones, they're making more money than the people. Well, yeah, but they're not people and they're not making money. They're designed to cut into labor costs. Now, and truly, how hard would it be to create a Bernie bot? Honestly. I mean, I don't think you could probably code this. There's a guy I used to work with at Microsoft has an organization called code.org. I don't have no connection to it, but they teach kids how to code, just really elementary code. If news, then minimum wage increase. If challenge, then white person. If man, then woman. And you could just code that all in real quick. And I think a junior high coder could probably accomplish that. So Bernie Sanders, once again, showing why he's the senator from Vermont. And I guess this isn't... Wait, you know what? The other thing you could do is you could... Have you read his sex poems? I know this. Maybe this is old news to people. Maybe it's not. Some people don't know about this, that he was paid per word to write what are truly rape fantasies. So you could also have an AI bot that interprets Bernie's deepest id desires, or I would say big, huge sin problem. We all have that. Bernie's just happens to be crazy rape poetry. But then again, the public schools, government schools. And I caution people in red states, please do not toss out all teachers or schools. I live in a pretty reddish state, and we've got some fantastic teachers. So don't let this stuff, these other states, cause you to just hate schools or, gosh, hate teachers. But there is this. A small town decided it would like to not have failing schools. And so they wanted to have some school competition and maybe allow some for some reform. It's Colorado town of Woodland Park. And they owned 28.6% of students scored at grade level. So they decided to make some changes, just some reforms, loosen things up so that you could do things from a school level and innovate. The unions parachuted in to say, there will be no innovation. On the other hand, there's good news out of Tennessee. Governor Bill Lee signed a bill to free teachers from the unions. That's the way, by the way, in these government schools. Free them from the unions and then dissolve the National Education Association and any bureaucrats in D.C. that have anything to do with this. An active duty Army officer came home hoping to sell her house, but it was no longer hers, so to speak. Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God has decided we shall live. My name is Todd Herman. A lot of fun to fill in for Dana today, and I appreciate you, appreciate this team having me and putting up with the guest host. Remember, there's so many ways to keep in touch with Dana. She's so productive. There is the DirecTV, YouTube, there's danalash.com, the newsletter, hardworking lady. So easy to stay in touch. Coming up, a woman in New York was just pilloried. I love that word. We don't say it enough. Pilloried. Because she wanted to ride the junk bike she rented. I have a thing about those bikes. And so the problem was the guy who wanted to steal it from her was capital B black. And she's, of course, lowercase W white. And the mob took over, and she's a terrible human, and the dreaded Karen word, and that hurts me because one of my favorite people in the world's named Karen. You'll hear this, and then you know that phrase, the slang phrase, the receipts. That's what the kids say. They got the receipts. Well, that figures into this. Let's do a comparison. My favorite explanation of the political world of all explanations. Well, no, that's not true, because I have an axiom that is where there's a double standard, there's a hidden agenda. That's my favorite. My second favorite is the fact of how tennis got to be scored in the insane way it is. I know, tennis. I know you may have heard this before. The reason that it's 15 love and that insane scoring method was the Royals wanted people to be able to watch the game but not be able to score it. So they created this strange, enigmatic, unpredictable way of scoring the matches. Likewise, in politics, things that are pretty simple, they want to complicate. And needless complication is the realm and the tool and the technique of scoundrels. Always is. And in the case of immigration, they make it this great, well, it's such a long border and there's so many human factors that come into play. Yeah, it's okay, right. Except the question is, do we have a border? Now, keep that in mind, border. Keep that in mind, please. And let's take this down to a real world example. Not having to do with the southern or northern border of the country, but nonetheless, a prime example. This is the story here of a woman who served our military on our behalf on active duty. And she came home to Georgia. And in clip number 9, you're going to hear Army Lieutenant Colonel Dahlia Dewar share what happened after she returned home from active duty and found a squatter living in her Georgia home.
So it's kind of unjust to find out that someone can literally move into your home with a fictitious lease with a company that doesn't exist. My house was not on the market for rent. It was on the market for sale. I had a contract on the house. And to find out that this person moved into my home right after I got done renovating, it was very aggravating and I was angry.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I was very angry. Being away from home, had I not been on duty, I would have been in my home. And to know that a career criminal to it that could just move in and did not want to leave.
Comparison to the border? Oh, incidentally, how's your heart rate when you hear that, particularly about a member of our military? And I would just like to say I admire her for having not used the skills her government taught her to deal with the situation in a faster and more efficient and more direct manner. And I would have been tempted to do that. In fact, well, I don't want to say that. I would have been tempted. Now, at least in this case, there was the fake paperwork. In the separate countries of Washington and California and Oregon, it's actually not uncommon for people to seize your backyard. Truly, seize your backyard. I have a friend of mine, Kevin the Cop, and he rolled on a case outside of Seattle where some people had sent up a heroin tent in the backyard of a couple. Then they came home from work and said, hey, you know, there's five people in our nice backyard and set up a tent and they're cooking up heroin and shooting up the meth. So they called the police and the police had to come out and say, well, we can ask them to leave, but we can't make them. Can't do it. Because they've established residency, you're going to have to go to court and prove they don't belong here. And that may take up to 6 months. Now, it might be, and perhaps this happened, perhaps it didn't, but it might be the case that a certain cop rolled there after work and went up to those people and said, okay, no badge, no cop car, you're leaving now. That might have happened. Because that would be justice if that happened. Border? And they want to make this stuff very, very complicated. Now, this is Florida. Ron DeSantis, of course, soaked in blood. This bloody, bloody man. That's what the left is content. Oh, by the way, they're out now saying his wife is too involved in his campaign and she's too loyal. This is a legit, this is a criticism they're making of Ron DeSantis' wife, is that she's too loyal and too involved in his campaign and apparently too smart. If only she had a penis, then it would all be okay. So Florida wants to crack down on human trafficking and they're tying it to illegal immigration. And it's right. Look, illegal immigration runs hand in hand with human trafficking. Ted Cruz, and you remember this a few weeks ago, I know Dana talked about this, these wristbands people wear, this is how much money they own the cartels. The fact that this is going on, let's take this down to a house level like we did with the lieutenant colonel here. Let's take this down to a house level. When you were a kid, did you ever make the dreadful mistake of having a party in your parents' home or vacation home? Did you ever do that? I did it once. And my mom was gone, my sister was gone, and we got a keg of beer, and we brought it over to the house, and it went, well, now the vernacular is it went viral. People just knew it was there. And I remember it was filling up with people I knew, you know, the friends, and then it's friends of friends. Okay, I know this guy. And then it turned a corner. And I remember coming up from downstairs, and there was a guy, number one, smoking in my mom's family room. And number two, as I approached him, he put it out on the rug. And at the time, I was not a discipled man, so I might have shoved him, but definitely kicked him out and kicked some other people out and realized that at a certain point, this crossed over into, I have no idea who's here. My mom's stuff is here. You know, we've got precious things and that could be stolen. And, oh, this is a mistake because I didn't maintain control. Well, wait, on our border, we have no control. We have now Chinese nationals showing up at the border. We have Syrian nationals showing up, Haitians. And that's a long walk from Haiti to Mexico. It's a really long walk because you have to walk under the ocean and back up the other side. Not to mention it's a long walk from China. It's almost like they're getting help. Oh, that's right. The UN is helping them. Unofficially. Which is lying. And we're not to lie. We're to be kind to people. We're called to do that. God tells us, look, you're sojourners on earth. Be kind. And guess what? They're supposed to follow our laws. It's not kind. When you set up laws and don't follow them and then don't enforce them, that's not kind. Only a predictable society can be a safe society. Or a rational society, or not make people crazy. This is not the example of everybody who comes into the country, but it's an example of we don't know who's coming into the country because we choose not to know who's coming into the country. And there's an illegal alien who got freed into the United States. This is from Breitbart. And he's been convicted of beheading a woman who was apparently a patriotic and legal immigrant who changed her name to America. And this guy's name, Alexei Sarboti Villetras, 42-year-old illegal alien from Cuba, which is also not a walk, it's a boat ride, was convicted of first-degree murder for beheading this woman named Thayer. Mafalda Thayer changed her name to America. He beheaded her. And this guy was in the country and didn't need to be. When we don't know who's coming in, that's a decision we've made. And he can take it right back up to this lieutenant colonel's house. She didn't have control who's coming in because they faked documentation. We don't have control because the party, and when I say that, there are issues on which there is absolutely firm and sometimes tacit, but firm agreement amongst the professional Republicans and professional Democrats. And if you don't understand that phrase, I know it's axiomatic. It's my phrase. And what I mean by that is if you ask, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm Republican. Or I Democrat. What does that mean? Well, that means I do what my party wants me to do. Why? Well, for money. Okay, got it. So you're a professional hack. They agree on open borders because it drives down the cost of labor and replaces a society that's having fewer and fewer children born. Oh, and by the way, aborting children. Oh, and by the way, chemically castrating children and surgically castrating them. Oh, and by the way, that all has the effect of driving down birth rates. Oh, by the way, so does the mRNA injections. What with spontaneous abortions and miscarriages and inabilities for people to reproduce, it's almost like we are flipping society by bringing in people who want to be dependent upon government and creating an entire class of people medically dependent upon government for their very, very nature or the illusion of being a man or a woman. Oh, that's right. We are doing that at the same time as we're flooding the border. It's all part of the same process. California wants to give illegal immigrants unemployment benefits, $300 per week beginning in 2025. Compare back to the lieutenant colonel's home. Maybe they should have been, this person who stole her house, maybe they should have been living there and getting free Uber Eats. I know Dana talked about this a bunch and in a great, great long segment on it and just tore this apart like she can do and picked it apart. We have Debbie Wasserman Schultz saying, that you're going to have vegetables rotting in the fields if we don't have illegal immigration. So we should go back to this lieutenant colonel and go, look, who's going to mop your floors if you don't allow squatters in your house? What do you want, dirty floors? What are you, a racist? You're a dirty floor fan? I'm going to try to complicate things needlessly. When we come back on the Quick Five, there is a test going on for employees. It's at the highest level in 25 years, and it might not be good news. It's Todd Herman in for Dana Loesch on The Dana Show.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if anyone knows this because I'm an old man and used to have way too much time around rock music, but that song references Lord of the Rings. You guys know that, right? There's the actual reference in there to Lord of the Rings from Led Zeppelin. Beautiful song. And I guess useless knowledge. That way, I should actually apply for being like a Cliff from Cheers. Just walk into a place and just start spouting off useless knowledge. Here's the thing I do. I actually, there's a place I frequent. I was just telling Steven, who works at Radio America, producing the show about this, is I am a fanatic about what I eat, and I'm in the gym all the time. And it's just what I do for fun and just enjoy trying to be in shape. But once a week, I go gorge on pizza like you wouldn't believe, like a sicko, like a whole pizza, Big Caesar salad. But the young staff, you know, great young staff at this place, and I always go to them and say, what's something you learned this week completely new? What's a new piece of knowledge you have? And only one time did I have someone actually stop and say, you know what? I'm in the midst of these finals exams, and I know this. That's a fun thing to do with people. I think it's fun to do with kids. is to ask your kids, what's something new you learned this week? Because when they know that you're going to ask that, and it could be something minor, it doesn't need to be academic, it could be an observation, but something, it should be something solid that you learn. So now you know that Ramble On by Led Zeppelin references Lord of the Rings, so you can go and say that, look it up, and then just go blow people's minds. And there's minds being blown in ways that are healthy and then not healthy, as we'll reveal right now in the very famous feature of the Dana Show called The Quick Five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
American workers are getting tested for something, and it's not great news. The highest ever positive results for marijuana in people's blood, 25%. And incidentally, I know I can hear people saying, it's harmless, it's better than smoking cigarettes. Yeah, it can also lead to drug-induced psychoses. Maybe that makes for good employees. I guess it depends on what you do. Sometimes psychosis is helpful in certain jobs. I've worked those jobs. There is a trend now for self-checkouts, you know, where you do all the work to ask you for tips, and people are doing it. They're tipping the machines. I was forced to use self-checkout. I try to avoid that. I always want to interact with the human. I just don't want to help this process along of dehumanizing these processes. And a lady came over to me and said, pardon me, you can single bag that. An employee, I said, I am an amateur, not a paid professional, so I might even triple bag. And I know I'm not going to tip. There's a liberal celebrity chef is exempt from a California stove ban. The city has decided the gas stove, he doesn't have to be part of this because he's a liberal famous chef. And you know what? No. I was going to read his name. I'm not. I'm not giving him the publicity on Dana's show. No. Because sometimes these stories are designed for that. The Tampa Pride event canceled after DeSantis signed an anti-drag bill. So if we're paying attention here, this means that, hey, if we can't take our clothes off and gyrate sexually in front of children, ain't no doing. DeSantis entering the presidential race, of course, officially coming up as is Tim Scott. Michelle Obama wanted to fight childhood obesity with a new juice. It violates her own nutrition standards. Incidentally, when you hear the phrase juice, just think soda pop calorically. Todd Herman in for Dana on The Dana Show.
If you had to take care of some lefty trying to outsmart you in the Walmart parking lot and missed any portion of today's show, download the latest Dana Show podcast on your preferred podcast platform.
And as an addendum to that, go to danalash.com and sign up for the chapter and verse newsletter on Substack that she writes. And that way you can pull that out and read from it. Even have it programmed into a teleprompter on your phone. And you can get my podcast, by the way, at thetoddhermanshow.com or wherever you get podcasts. It's cleverly named after the host. So this is a theme. It's a theme segment. And the theme happened accidentally, and those are the best themes, as I've learned. We do a big story of the day section here as Dana's show. And the theme is thieves and rumors of thieves. And it starts on a personal basis and works its way up. And that maybe that's an Uber theme of the show today. A woman nurse, remember when they were heroes and then they didn't want to get injected, then they were villains? That was a fun period of time. And they made all the dance videos, and then when they didn't want to get injected, then it was no more dance videos for you. She was coming home from work, and those are long shifts, and nurses, generally speaking, get into this business for the right reason and are still, I think, largely uncorrupted nurses, although our system's getting attacked. So New York nurse, she's going home. She rents one of those silly junk bikes. And thoughts on that later, maybe one day. And there's a confrontation. Now, she's already lost because she is a lowercase W white person. And the gentleman, well, he's not a gentleman. The guy who wants the bike is uppercase B black. So he's already won. And incidentally, is black... What? Okay, I don't want to get it. See, I could get off track on this in a major way, so I won't. I will focus. So here is what people saw on the social media, the platforms, you know. They're not publishers. Yes, they are. They're publishers, and the Supreme Court should recognize them as that. They shouldn't be able to have this liability, but they do. Or pardon me, waiver from liability, but they do. So this is what people heard with the corresponding video and then rendered their judgment that this woman is a racist pig. and was attacked and attempts to dox her. And oh, incidentally, as I understand it, her employer, I believe it's Bellevue Hospital, as I understand it, her employer has placed her, she's out on leave and will remain on leave pending a review of this incident. And this is what people heard and on which they render judgment right here in clip number 11.
No, no, record it, record it.
Help!
Record
it.
Help me!
Dude, stop!
Sit down.
She's just crying. You're not crying.
Stupid!
I got
it's
your
my bike.
You drunk?
Hassan, you pulled it out. This is my bike. It's on my account. Please move.
All right. So why don't we reset the bike?
I'm not resetting the bike.
It's his.
I'm pulling it out on your account.
So from that interaction, it was determined that she is the dreaded Karen word, which makes me sad because one of my favorite people in the world's named Karen, and a racist pig. And apparently, according to media reports, on leave until this is all figured out. Bellevue Hospital has her on leave. She's surrounded by people in a city where people are commonly beaten to death. And because their capital word or capital letter B black and she is lowercase w white, she's already lost. Now, honestly, to give credit to the mob, that's a pretty gentle mob. And I'm sure it didn't feel gentle to her. I'm sure it was terrifying. Secondly, you know, you can't go in and stop this stuff because you're going to get in trouble, Daniel Penny. But incidentally, there's a capital B black woman, although she's going to become a lowercase b black woman because she's come out and said, I was on the subway. Daniel Penny, the guy who had to unfortunately take action against a crazy man on the subway. That was self-defense. So here's what's turned out now. Apparently, she has the receipts, not the colloquial, you know, slang word receipts. She's got the receipt. It was her bike. So I wonder if the guys who are surrounding her will now be on leave from something pending a review. Did I say there's a theme, the thieves and rumors and thieves? Remember Sam Brinton? So the people who run Joe Biden are so obsessed with performative politics. And performative politics is it's like chrome veneer on a rusty wheel. So it is so important that performative be the top thing. This is what we look at, not what's below the surface. So let's make Sam Brinton the head of how we deal with our spent nuclear waste, even though he's apparently a sadomasochist, even though he apparently likes to teach kink to young people and others, even though he's fanatical about his cross-dressing, even though he sings just weird, weird songs to Father Fauci. Truly, he does. Let's put him in charge of our spent nuclear waste. You know the story. He went and stole a lady's luggage, and she happened to be a pretty famous designer, and she looks and says, that's my clothes. I made those. He fled and has had to be tracked down and arrested as a fugitive from justice. But he made all the sense in the world to run our spent nuclear waste program. Thieves and rumors and thieves. There's a prominent French author. She stole. And she is going to be put on trial because she's a thief. And apparently she's very famous in France and maybe elsewhere. Dora Matteau. Probably said that the wrong way, but I'm trying my very, very best. She stole. Very serious. She called a man, therefore stole his identity. She's going on trial. So thieves and rumors of thieves, personal level working up to a national basis. If you have a Bank of America account, and they will say things like this to you, do not share your account information with others. Do not share your account password with others. you get your debit card, you have to go through that process of calling in and proving you're you. Or I don't know if you've had to open a business bank account lately. I had to do that. And it's a small bank. It's a regional bank. And I went in and opened it and treated pretty well. But the paperwork the government makes them do, when they got out that thing to scrape the top of my mouth to get DNA, I think this might be going too far. And they said, oh, well, we haven't asked you to step into the exam room yet. They will do everything, like, but to protect your privacy, to protect the country, to protect the privacy of your account. Can we have this? Can we get a double and triple verification? And you log on to your online banking and you put in the password and then it texts you and then it wants another email. And hey, biometrics. Metrics, but not your eye. Can we get a different body part because we're sick of your eye? All because your account information is sacrosanct. Well, no, it's not. No, it's not. Not if you went to Washington, D.C. in between Jan 5th and Jan 7th of 2021 in this clip 12 here. This is Representative Dan Bishop revealing the fact that Bank of America gave a list to the FBI of anyone who used a credit card or debit cards in the D.C. area between those dates.
And I think Americans need to hear it because there are other glimpses of just how the victimization is going on and how it's victimization at scale. This is one fact that struck me. The Bank of America records, the story that Bank of America turned over the credit card transactions, whether for an aircraft or a lodging or the purchase of a cup of coffee, for everyone who decided to come to Washington, to be in Washington area, the Northern Virginia area. That's one of the things that you asked questions about. There are victims all over the place. All of the people who suffered when the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security got involved in censorship with social media platforms, millions and millions of tweets and narratives being taken down. That is victimization at scale. It must be resolved. And the fact that those who profess to be most concerned about victimization of people by law enforcement in this country join in the victimization of you.
It's a joint state action. It's a joint state theft. Like Bank of America has admitted, oh, yeah, we're not a company. We're a deputized arm of the government, and we'll give them any information we want to give them. And the platforms, the so-called social media platforms, and they're not platforms, they're publishers. They should be liable for things people say on their websites because they edit what people say and do away with what people say. They gave the Department of Homeland Security and, gosh, I mean, who didn't they give access to in government to our direct messages, which are supposedly private? They do the same thing with us. Make sure your account's secure. Have double, triple verification. Have you thought about a biometric ID? Thieves and rumors of thieves. I want to thank Representative Hagman, who decided to do this in clip 13. She says the leadership of the FBI and DOJ are corrupt, and she's going to name names. Christopher Wray, Merrick Garland are corrupt. Here she is.
Blunt, the leadership of the FBI and the DOJ are corrupt. I will name names. Christopher Wray and Merrick Garland are corrupt. They know it, we know it, and the American people know it.
Now, I don't know that they know it. Now, we do, she does, but they've convinced themselves, I think, or they've been convinced, they've been lied to by the ultimate liar, that your job is to deceive people for their own good. Your job is to lie to people for their own good. Your job is to break the Ten Commandments for people's own good. Gosh, who would want that to happen? Who would want an outcome like that? And just a reminder, biblically, just to Chris Wray and those guys, God knows what you're thinking, and all that's hidden will be revealed. So maybe think about a change, maybe even repentance. It's Todd Herman in for Dana Lash. We come back. If you were going to go get naked in Florida, would you choose a gym where people learn to fight to go attack people? That next on The Dana Show.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
It's Todd Herman in for Dana Lash. Visit DanaLash.com and get signed up for her newsletter, Chapter and Verse. Before we get to Florida Man as designed to be used, just know this, that the attacks in DeSantis continue. There's a pretense and an organized one that Disney's just shutting down investments in Florida. And maybe that would be good for Florida. Probably not, given the tax base. This has to do with the canceling of a project that Bob Iger, who's the returned the CEO of Disney, is on record not having liked to begin with. It's $1 billion not being spent out of $17 billion that is being spent. The $17 billion is expected to provide 13,000 jobs. And this, of course, the media is pretending that this is all about Iger pushing back against DeSantis, saying, if we're going to continue to subsidize you and give you special rights, like you, your own city, you're your own municipality, that's a pretty special right. If we're going to give that to you, privilege, actually, if we're going to give you that privilege, then you're not going to use that privilege to meddle in politics and to divide families. Just not going to. We're not going to subsidize that. But they're desperate to pretend that DeSantis is mindless in pursuit of blood at all times. Now, let's get to it. As it's actually intended to be used, the Florida Man segment.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
If you were to decide that you wanted to strip yourself of clothing and then decide that you wanted to go attack people, would you do that inside a gym of people who are learning to box and some of them who are actually probably very good at this? This happened at a UFC gym in Midtown Miami. One of the participants decided to strip naked and then start attacking people. He was eventually tased by the police. And the video from inside the gym, and this is from Outkick.com, shows the man already undressed, attacking and throwing punches at others who are trying to work out. Seen in the footage, wrestling with a man before trying to put some of his boxing training to use. And in watching the video, I mean, it's not that great a boxer, but it's awkward fighting naked. It is. And it's awkward grabbing a naked dude. I've talked to cops about this, that it feels weird to grab a naked dude. I got into I've dug myself a hole. I have to admit this. I got into a fight when I was in wrestling as a young man in the locker room with a guy, and we were naked. It didn't last long, and I don't want to be a braggart, so I won't say who won, but it was really weird because you feel very, very awkward when you're naked. You feel vulnerable. That's not how I would choose to do it. On the other hand, if you are in Florida and you're going to decide to steal $600,000 from somebody, you should probably drug them first, because that way you can't get caught. And right now, apparently this woman's not caught. Police are searching for a woman who allegedly sold $600,000 worth of jewelry from a man she met at a Miami club. And this happened May 8th. The man brought the woman back to his building, and they say where, and I don't want to say where. The two met at a club. Can I just point something out? Perhaps this is me being a Ned Flanders. My daughter thinks I've turned into a Ned Flanders. There's no good reason for an adult human being to want to go meet another adult human being in a nightclub. There's just not. If you're looking to establish a relationship and get married and something of depth, dancing and drinking do not combine into, hey, let's explore each other as souls, as people created by God, as people of nuance and depth and gravitas and all those other things and humor. You know what that's about. It's always about the same thing in these clubs. And I don't mean to offend people by that, because perhaps you're the one person who says, no, in fact, when I go to clubs, the first conversation I want to have with a woman or a man is, tell me about your views on literature. So no, it's maybe not. That's probably not the case. More next hour about the Washington, D.C. hearings about the FBI and the weaponization of government and the attacking of people and the aid of Bank of America, but also some visits. The FBI decided to go on a little door-knocking campaign with some of the families, not the participants in the hearings, not the participants in pro-life activities, but going and knocking on the doors of their family members. We'll talk about that coming up on The Dana Show. Remember, danalash.com, the chapter and verse newsletter, my podcast's at thetoddhermanshow.com. Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times to which God has decided we shall live, and he made them as an opportunity for us to rejoice. It's Todd Herman in for Dana, and thank you for having me. Thank you to Dana's affiliates, KSBN AM 1230 in Spokane, for letting me use their studio and the team here. Appreciate that so much. With the FBI now being questioned, or at least the behaviors of the FBI being questioned, here's the rounding up of the wagons. Here's how things stand. And this, to me, is perhaps the most remarkable of the aspects of this is the like kinds. We've talked on the show today at the level of changes in America. What is Bank of America's role when they decide to hand over account information to the FBI with no subpoena? They're deputized agent of the state. They're joint state actors. We've talked about that aspect. We've talked about the personal aspect of when did we start to allow the open retaliation against whistleblowers, which is what the FBI has done. They are torturing these men and trying to make sure their families can't provide for their families. It's clear as day. So we've talked about that aspect of this. We've talked about the need to have actual action to take care of the bosses who encourage this behavior. So we've looked at that. But let's look at another issue. That is how these things are lining up with like kinds. This is, to me, if something is breathtaking, which is a bit of a cliched phrase, it's this. Democrats defend Antifa. Democrats attack parents. Democrats defend censorship. Democrats attack free speech. The State Department is requiring that all employees put ridiculous, stupid pronouns in their signatures of their emails. In other words, the State Department is forcing employees to sin. Did I say sin? I did, because it's a lie that men are women and women are men. And when you put the pronoun in your sig line, you have participated in that lie. And that creates a very tough circumstance for people who've made their careers in the State Department. And one would assume there's good people within the State Department, as I'm sure is true. Difficult, though, to imagine. I'm sure that's true. So you look at how they're lining up. You look at the participation in the FBI in this effort to pretend, and it is a pretense, it's a pure pretense of trying to manufacture domestic terrorist extremists from school board members. It is an expressed effort in line with the teachers' unions. And then you get down to abortion. And you get down to the activities there. And we'll talk about that, because the FBI has decided to go on a door-knocking campaign, visiting not the activist homes, but their parents' homes. Now, why would they do that? Gosh, if only we could guess. So the like kinds lining up, attack on families, attack on truth. That's a pretty big attack. In these hearings, we've had three men who served our country stand up and say, our FBI is off track. It's not just bias. It's attacking Americans. It's violating their constitutional rights, and it's choosing this over actually protecting Americans. This is the focus here is creating fake enemies and not going after real enemies. This guy named Marcus Allen is one of the people there. He's been suspended without pay for over a year for disloyalty. In clip number 14, this FBI whistleblower, Marcus Allen, I said, says he was retaliated against for providing information that questioned the official narrative of Jan 6th.
This outrageous and insulting accusation is based on unsubstantiated accusations that I hold conspiratorial views regarding the events of January 6, 2021, and that I allegedly sympathize with criminal conduct. I do not. I was not in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, played no part in the events of January 6th, and I condemn all criminal activity that occurred. Instead, it appears that I was retaliated against because I forwarded information to my superiors and others that questioned the official narrative of the events of January 6. As a result, I was accused of promoting conspiratorial views and unreliable information. Because I did this, the FBI questioned my allegiance to the United States. Since I was suspended, there's been a dearth of communication from the FBI, with interactions seemingly only being forced by actions from my counsel or members of Congress. For example, I was not even interviewed by anyone from the FBI until May of 2022. I was suspended in January of 2022.
So they're making sure he can't seek work elsewhere. That's the game. And incidentally, his colleague, Stephen Friend, who also testified, He talked about when he was brought in by his bosses and questioned about Jan 6, and they were saying there were cops murdered on that day. Cops were murdered. Five cops were murdered or something on that day. Cops were murdered, and Stephen Friend said, no. In fact, cops weren't murdered. And his superiors didn't know this. So, you know this whole thing about living in a bubble? That's true. D.C. is a bubble within a bubble within a bubble. They defend the family business. And what is the family business? The family business is to control you. Don't you know? I mean, don't you think, maybe I'm wrong on this, but maybe you agree. Do you think that they can feel the credibility just creeping, just washing out of their hands like sand? So what are they going to do? They're going to try to grip the sand harder. It's a raccoon with its hand in a box. It's going to keep the treasure, keep itself trapped. This is part of the response, and it's a brainstem response. It's not a thought-out response. It's certainly not a godly response. You remember then the FBI decided to go around and arrest a bunch of pro-life activists, and they did this. They marched into Mark Houck's house and arrested him in front of his family, and they charged him with a crime that the local cops had dismissed, that he supposedly attacked a pro-abortion activist. That's been let go. This charge has once again been dropped. No one wants to do this because he didn't attack anybody. The abortion activist was apparently attacking this guy's kid rhetorically, saying terrible things about his father. And he didn't want this guy around his kid. Well, now there's this. The FBI decided to show up here. This is clip 15. Decided to show up at the childhood home of a pro-life activist.
Yeah, sure. My name's Ashley Roberts and this is Kathleen Brown. We're both with the FBI.
Okay.
We just need to speak with her regarding some information that was sent in to us.
Okay. Well, she doesn't live here.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, she's my daughter, but this isn't her residence currently.
Okay. Do you mind giving us her residence or her phone number by chance?
Yeah. Hold on just a second.
Sure. She's not in any trouble.
You are the FBI, and you don't have her phone number? You can't find her phone number. You went to Bank of America. Your agency went to Bank of America, and you said, give us the credit card and debit card data for every single one of your so-called customers. And I say so-called because you don't do this to customers. You do this to products. You provide products to the government, not customers. So you went to the FBI went to Bank of America and said, give that to us. They said, okay, yeah, we don't need these subpoenas. Here you go. Here's all of it. But they couldn't do this here? They just didn't know where she lived? Do you buy this? I can't seem to buy it. So they go to this lady's house. Not her house, her mother's house. That's an intimidation move is what I would think. In Boston, an FBI agent testified that their Washington office would not share Capitol closed caption TV footage with them because there might be undercover agents and informants in the video here in clip 16.
He too said, happy to do it. Show us where they were inside the Capitol and we'll look into it. To which WFO said, we can't show you those videos unless you can tell us the exact time and place those individuals were inside the Capitol. To which the SSA responded back, and I was privy to these conversations firsthand, give us access to the 11,000 hours of video that's available? Because there may be UCs, undercover officers, or CHSs, confidential human sources, on those videos whose identity we need to protect.
So these agents got in trouble. Well, they're being persecuted for having alternative views. Here's an alternative view. If you have more agents than rioters at a riot, why don't the agents stop it? Why don't they pull out their badges and their guns and stop it? That's an alternate view. We know that with the Proud Boys, there were more agents than Proud Boys. Why didn't the agents stop the Proud Boys from going in? Because it was a coup. They were there for a coup. They were unarmed, but they were there for a coup. They didn't stop this. That's an alternate view. An alternate view to this day, to this second, to this minute is, so who said open the 20-ton doors or however big they are? They're huge, and I'm told that armored-propelled grenades cannot make it through. That wasn't their focus. Their focus, as you hear in clip 7, was sending Special Agent FBI whistleblower Stephen Friend out to hang out in parking lots to get people's license plates who attend school board meetings, clip 7.
Mr. Friend, you ever been to a school board meeting?
Yes, I have.
FBI ever sent you to the parking lot of a school board meeting?
Yes, they have.
And in the parking lot of a school board meeting where the FBI sent you, you were taking down information regarding people's license plates?
That's correct.
Now, it wasn't the first time you'd been to a school board meeting, was it?
No, I went on my own as a private citizen.
As a parent?
Yes.
And so there you were. It must have been quite an interesting perspective. There you were taking down the information of people, parents attending school board meetings on behest of the FBI. And you had been one of those parents at a school board meeting. How did that feel?
Well, after I attended privately, my colleagues teased me that they were probably going to start investigating me.
Ha, that's some funny stuff, given that he's now persona non grata. And the FBI is preventing him from working. We'll come back with the quick five on the Dana Show. Todd Herman filling in.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Hey, it's Todd Herman in for Dana today and yesterday, and I appreciate you and the kindness of this team and the Radio America team. Thank you for that. Coming up, remember the... Was it $60 billion the Pentagon lost they couldn't find? And it might just be, you know, sometimes you put a thing somewhere because you're not paying attention. You come home, put the car keys in the right place. So it's probably in the fridge. Well, they found $3 billion. Now, maybe not the same billion because it's just billions. And they have, they've been able to allocate to that to something very, very important. We'll talk about that. Right now, though, it's time for the very famous and sought after, and by the way, sometimes frightening, feature called the Quick Five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
You know, it's very possible that this case saved the life of a bunch of people, the Vatican and the gendarme. And I had to look up the pronunciation, and I fully admit that. Civilian police force in France had to shoot a driver, shoot at him, apprehend him for trying to rush into the Vatican gate. I would just say, because we've talked about borders and did things mean anything, words mean anything, perhaps he was seeking refuge. Shouldn't they have asked? Did they check ID? Perhaps. I know it's a bit of a stretch, but it's only a bit of a stretch. Some people were in their car and they were driving through something. This was a drive-through window. And gosh, wouldn't you know it that, and I don't, can I say this? I guess I can. It's kind of some excrement type stuff began falling from the sky. This was in Minnesota. They were at the Caribou Coffee. That's not Caribou Coffee's fault. Let's not blame them for the poo coming down from the sky. That's clearly Donald Trump's fault because it's racism. An Illinois parent did the right thing. I've been encouraging people to do this for years. They called the cops on a teacher after she tried to teach middle school kids about sodomy. Yes, more of this. Make them live in the world they're creating for the rest of us. Make them be confronted with this. And I just always say, real life, if you walked into your house and your neighbor, let's say his name is Lee, Lee's sitting in your front room with your kids, teaching them about sodomy, how long does Lee live? Right? Because I think at that point, your flesh would take over. And you would probably end Lee's tenure on Earth. I'm not suggesting people shoot teachers. Please don't. But call the cops on them. The State Department spokesperson says they're going to look into why employees are being misgendered in mandatory email pronouns. Yeah, because people probably hate being forced to lie and being misgendered because people aren't going to lie because lying is a sin. All of this leads to a notion about what happens when a city completely gives into this line of thought, this madness, this pronoun. In San Francisco, office space, the value of it has plunged 75%. Clearly, this has to do with not enough money for the homeless, which is also Donald Trump's fault. We come back, we'll talk about this $3 billion they found. Plus, we're amping up the rumors about Dianne Feinstein. She might not be well.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
Hey, it's Todd Herman filling in for Dana today, and fun to do it. Good to be doing live radio with you and hanging out with this team at Radio America. So the Pentagon has this thing where they lose money. And I don't mean that they, you know, as in terms of trying to make a profit, lose it, where they misplace it. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the last round of money they misplaced was, I think it was about $60 billion. And nothing happened. No one came and said, we're actually going to need you to find the $60 billion. Well, it's we can't. It's been gone. So the errors were made. Mistakes occurred. Passive language. Now, in a serendipitous and helpful turn of events, the Pentagon says an accounting mistake has left the country with $3 billion more dollars to give to Ukraine. Because, so you can say they need it. I can pretend to be torn on this war. I can pretend that. I'm torn on the loss of life. It's the toll of human life. I'm torn. I want us to stop that. I also don't think we can stop that. I want us to intervene. I also don't think we can prevent it. I only think we can escalate it. I think that what's happening in this war is escalation. And then I look at the people involved in it. And this is where I think things begin to turn. And we're accused of conservatives now of, okay, so now you guys are anti-war. Mm-mm. I'm anti-collusion. And watching the collusion between big business and Jan 6, do you think Bank of America is the only bank that was handing out customer information? I fail to believe that. I happen to think Jamie Dimon with, what is he with now, with Chase? I happen to think that he's a tool of the government too, and that's my opinion. And I bet a bunch of banks did that. Seeing BlackRock and the Vanguard types over in you know, international summit saying, we have to keep the war going in Ukraine, by which they say, oh, we need to win, to see them positioning to rebuild the country and to build it back better, and to see Zelensky saying that magic phrase, say it, come on, man, say it. Oh, and he said rebuild, he said build back better, good man. It makes me suspicious of the motives, because one can examine other countries in the world that are doing bad things, such as China, and say, why aren't we doing anything here? Well, you know, there is the fact that the figurehead, Biden's family, took in a bunch of money from them. That's something. And then when the uniparty aligns, I'm always suspicious. Find me bipartisanship that is good for the American people, because that has been a term that's been hung on legislation to show this is great legislation because it's bipartisan. Here's some things that we know are bipartisan. Open borders is largely bipartisan. Spying on the American people is largely bipartisan. Not calling out pharma for the mRNA injections, injuries, death, and lies about the mRNA injections, that's largely bipartisan. No term limits, that's largely bipartisan. Giving themselves raises, that's largely bipartisan. Keeping insider trading, it was outlawed for a while, then they brought it back. That's largely bipartisan. Bipartisanship is always, it's seemingly, the worst thing that we can hear from D.C. And there's this bipartisan support for this war, and it's on this that a bunch of GOP members, senators, say, well, they're just not going to vote for Donald Trump. Ukraine is part of this. Because President Trump wouldn't come out to say, I want Ukraine to win in this war. President Trump said, I don't look at it that way. I don't look at it as winning or losing. I look at it lives being lost, and I want the war to end. And let me ask you this question. Why should I want Ukraine to win? Why? Because they're the good guys? Are they? Zelensky, who is busily banning alternative media, meaning all media that's not state-supporting, he's busily banning religions, expressions of faith, so that there's a state faith. He's busily doing that. He's busily banning opposition candidates and opposition parties so that there's only one party. I should want him to win, Ukraine to win. Otherwise, we could have Russia that bans political parties and opposition, although they do not have, well, I guess they do kind of have a state church. There are some people who consider Vlad Putin to be the great spokesperson for Western Christianity. I disagree with that entirely. But to me, it's a tie. Is it because Russia has more power that we should want them to win? Well, wouldn't that give then Ukraine power? If Ukraine wins this war, wouldn't they then have taken over Russia or at least pushed them back and now they have power? They certainly have a lot of weapons. I'm not convinced that this is the reason that I need to support Ukraine because we need them to win. I'm not convinced that's a reason to not vote for President Trump. Here's how CNN puts it. And this article is all over. It's being pushed. I picked it up at MSN.com. A number of GOP senators push back on controversial claims made by Donald Trump. I'm sorry. You don't get to do that. You don't get to say that only Trump's claims are controversial, and yet they did. Johnny Cornyn, a member of the Senate Republican leadership, told CNN after the town hall that Trump's inability to appeal to voters outside of his base is a problem. I don't think he showed anything differently than he's shown people before. He's got a unique ability to rally his base, but not grow beyond his base, which is a problem. Okay, John Cornyn, let's talk about that for a second. Let's just you and I talk. Why do you think President Trump has this unique ability to rally his base, by which I think you mean the largest group of Republican voters on record by a large margin, although maybe some of the polls are tightening, maybe DeSantis is making some progress there. Why do you think that is, John Cornyn? I think it's because President Trump made promises and largely kept them. I think it's because President Trump said, I want us out of these wars, and he largely got us out of these wars. I think it's because President Trump said, I want manufacturing back in this country, and it was coming back. And all he had to do was lower the tax rates. I think it's because President Trump said, I want to secure a border, and he went about securing his border, our border. Now, President Trump is dead wrong on the mRNA injections, and that is going to be a huge hangup for me. He's now, Trump is saying that DeSantis did the worst job, worse than Cuomo, on COVID, which is demonstrably false. And it's a weird approach, because it puts President Trump on the side of Anthony Fauci, which is utterly bizarre. And yet that's where it is. So that's Cornyn's belief. And he doesn't intend, well, he says he's happy to let the primary play out. So that's his way of saying, I'm not going to go against Trump's base. Other people had the same sort of response, but this time it's about Ukraine. And, oh, because Trump won't say that we should, that Ukraine should win, that he wants them to win. Senator Todd Young of Indiana told Manu Raju on CNN he thinks President Trump's judgment is wrong in this case and asked for comments when asked about comments about the war and Putin. Young added that, of course, it does worry him. That's why I don't intend to support him for the Republican nomination. So your worry is that President Trump can't decide who he wants to, quote, win in a war between Russia and Ukraine. My response to that is, again, tell me why I would love to have someone tell me, here's why you should believe Ukraine should win. Is it because of the Hunter Biden bio labs? Is it because of the grift? Is it because of the payoffs? Tell me. I want to understand this. Why should I have this deep desire for Ukraine to win? And those are GOP senators, and there's some others that say they're not going to back President Trump, and we probably know who most of them are. Dianne Feinstein on the Senate. This is to watch the media suggest that an 89-year-old who perhaps has swelling of the brain might be a little bit confused is quite a thing to behold when you go back and remember that they wanted President Trump to take a cognitive test because he drinks a lot of Diet Coke and eats a lot of McDonald's. That's the reason he needed a cognitive test. Feinstein's office wasn't completely forthcoming. When it came to her health problems, Democrat Senator Dianne Feinstein's office said Thursday she's suffering from Ramsey-Hunt syndrome, a complication from shingles that can paralyze part of her face. That's awful. Oh, and by the way, she contracted encephalitis while recovering from the virus earlier this year. Encephalitis, that sounded familiar to me. And it, for good reason, it can cause swelling of the brain. And that can have differing symptoms, including personality changes, seizures, stiffness, confusion, and problems with sight or hearing, all according to the Mayo Clinic. So this is a woman who asked by reporters, hey, what have you been doing for the past 3 months? She said, what are you talking about? I've been here voting. So what matters is not the cognition, not their intellect, not their principles, not their beliefs, not their insights, not their skepticism, not their expertise in law, not their expertise in policy, not their ability to be international ambassadors, not the representation of their states. What matters is they do what they're told. Dianne Feinstein is not a senator. We don't have a southern border. We don't have a debt ceiling. We don't have a nation's law enforcement. Bank of America is not a company. It's a government. And Dianne Feinstein runs nothing. And this is very, very much to the advantage of the people who actually run these offices. There's very few senators who actually run their offices and run their policies. One of the most famous instances, not a senator, a congressman at the time, that happened in D.C. was the guy who's now governor of Washington State, very, very much a bot, by the way, Jay Inslee. He was in a press conference and someone asked him about his opinion about a bill. And he turned to his position. And he turned to his staff and said, what is my position on that? And his staff told him, this is your position on that. So in this circumstance, we should not be surprised. And Dana talked about this earlier this week. And we won't play the soundbite because no one needs to hear it. It's painful to see John Fetterman, senator, hoodie wearer, who can't complete anywhere near a complete sentence. That's a known factor. But did you know that apparently a Washington Post writer decided to make believe that John Fetterman made sense? He decided to actually rewrite the statement so that he made sense. They used to do this when people spoke Ebonics to make it sound like they were being more cogent in the English language. And yet, these are the same people who said Trump should get a cognitive exam. It's Todd Herman in for Dana Lash on The Dana Show. We come back to Day in Stupidity.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download The Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on The Dana Show.
Hey, it's Todd Herman. It's been an honor today to fill in. I want to thank Dana and Stephen, who's with me today, and folks at KSBN AM 1230 in Spokane, Kane, for all the support, and Radio America for having me. And again, my podcast is at thetoddhermanshow.com. God gave women just enormous power. And the closest thing, I think, that we get to, well, not being God, but this very intimate interaction with God in the making of human life and what their bodies can do in the process of making life. And certainly, obviously, men play a role in that. And, biblically speaking, the coming together to become one flesh. It's a beautiful, beautiful plan. And yet, in sight of all that, instead of having powerful women, truly powerful women, and women of intellect, and I've been so blessed to work with women of intellect, they instead choose the least of these. And I don't mean that in a nice sense. I mean the least intellectually capable people. Listen, I'm filling in on a radio show that's on 300 stations, top afternoon drive show in the nation, hosted by a woman and a powerful woman. But Democrat politics proves that's just performative. And we'll illustrate that right now in this feature called Today in Stupidity. This is Cammie Harris in clip 18, who starts laughing while talking about her favorite song.
Let's start with your favorite song of all time.
Oh, my favorite song of all time. I was going to say something from Bootsy, but
we love that.
I mean, I don't know if your viewers know Funkadelic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I am 28.
Bob Marley, for sure.
Okay.
There's a range. I have a range. Mm-hmm. But I'm a hip-hop kid. That's okay. How I grew up.
She doesn't have a favorite song because it's not been poll-tested. We're a nation of 330 million people, Roughly half, and I know it's not half, but roughly half are women. Of that, about a third are the age to run for president or vice president. Of that, then, you have how many women who are Indian, because she's not African-American. She's Indian. She said that for years, and then she decided to switch gears, and now I'm African-American. How many of them have law degrees? Because apparently that's required to be vice president, though that's not constitutional. How many of them are not empty intellectually and, in fact, craven politically? I think most of them. You know, God gave women enormous powers. He's also said to us, you want kings? All right. You can have kings. See how that does for you. This is another example of a woman, this time not really in politics, in media, clip 19, Mika Brzezinski praising Joe Biden for keeping up with what here?
President Biden keeps up a brutal schedule. There is no question that there is a tremendous difference, and this is understating it incredibly, between the amount of work that he puts in a day compared to former President Trump and his executive time.
Right.
Biden and Dr. Jill Biden, they are very giving of themselves. They show up at everything. They give their time.
Wow. The records on vacations, Biden's closing in on the record time on vacation. Blocked schedules? They're calling caps at noon. And Mika says this. Now, this could be a terrible thing to say. Perhaps she's photogenic. I don't find her that. I don't have any problem saying that a woman I disagree with is attractive. But what is it? I think it's because God said, oh, you want kings and queens. Oh, okay. Well, then I'll leave you to your own devices to get kings and queens. But let's not leave on a down note. Let's leave on this. Despite all the efforts to shut us up, despite all the efforts to delete us, to cancel us, to make sure people don't hear these points of views, shows like Dana Lash's shine through. And God is not going to let them be shut up because he made powerful women like Dana. It's been an honor. It's the Todd Herman Show.com. Thank you, Dana. Thank you, Radio America. God be with you all.